proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
If you are a believer in commitment with Jesus Christ, this is a great day for you and I to be alive. You might say, really? Look at the mess all around us. Well, the bigger the mess, the more opportunity we have to shine with the light of Christ into a darkened world. God knew you and I were going to be alive at this time on the earth, and He's counting on us to make a difference. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with the topic that you're dealing with? Understanding death. Precisely, because we have to make every single day count while we are here on earth. And we mentioned in our previous program that God is not the author of physical death of humans. He created us to live forever, and we are and will be in existence forever in the place of our choosing, either heaven or hell. That will be our choice to make. God has made it possible, and He has given us everything that we need to live in heaven forever. But if we choose not to, He has prepared another place for those who do not want Him, who do not want His kingdom, who do not want His rules, who do not want His righteousness, who have made up their mind to fight against Him and not do things His way. It's okay, but He doesn't want you to be with Him forever if you don't like Him, if you don't want to do things His way. He has prepared a place for you to do things your way, the way you did them here on earth. Now, we know that death came into existence through Adam and Eve's disobedience, just like God said it would, if they partook of the forbidden fruit. They only had one command to observe, and they violated it. And sin came into the human chain, and since then, every single person that is born upon the face of the earth, it doesn't matter what country you live in, it doesn't matter what region, it doesn't matter what race you are, if you are a human being, you were born a sinner into this world. We know that Adam and Eve did eat of the forbidden fruit, and they immediately began to die, just like God said it would happen. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. End of quote. Immediately after partaking of that fruit, Adam and Eve had a drastic change after that act of disobedience. And they felt the difference right away. Because Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 says, "Then the eyes of both were open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." End of quote. What change did they experience immediately? Sin caused Adam and Eve to see things differently. They immediately experienced shame of their nakedness. They had been naked before. What made the difference? A totally new and different value system came upon them, and they were ashamed. So that means that their innocence and their purity died. They also experienced guilt. They knew they had done something wrong. Sin always experiences guilt. Even though hardened sinners explain it away, they reason it away, but it is the image of God that prompts us to let us know that we have done something wrong. Because every single human being has the image of God within them. That is what gave them life. So we see that they experienced shame. No longer was their innocence and purity intact. And they immediately experienced guilt. And therefore, they started to die. First spiritually, and then in time, their bodies would also deteriorate. In Adam and Eve's sin, we all died. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, tells us the following. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. And then it is reiterated in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. End of quote. There's no escaping to be born in sin. People may be well-intentioned. They may mean to do good. But there's no way that any human being who is born upon the face of the earth, I repeat, can escape being born a sinful person. Already, when we come out of the womb, we are already sinners. And the only way to set ourselves free is through the born-again experience through Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus said as much in John chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. Jesus answered him, meaning Nicodemus. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. End of quote. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. And he tells us the same, because that is why he sent Jesus Christ, to redeem us and give us a new life. Romans chapter 5, verse 15, and then verses 17 and 18 say the following. First, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And then verse 17 says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation of all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. End of quote. It's very clear. Yes, we all died through Adam and Eve's sin, but now we can all be made alive through Jesus Christ. As many as want to be made alive can come. Jesus is there for everyone, no matter that we sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. End of quote. Yes, death did come to us through sin, but Jesus Christ came to the rescue. He offered himself to give us eternal life. He died in our stead. He received the punishment that you and I deserve. But he triumphed over death, which is what qualifies him to be our living Savior. I think by now you get the picture. Sin is what brought death into the lives of humans. But also, into all of creation. Yes, we know that plants and animals also die. They suffer the consequences of sin. The stars die, and new ones have to take their place. And it won't be happening anytime soon, but science tells us that the sun is also burning out. And I'm going to quote the following from LifeScience.com that says, "Stars are born, they live, and they die. The sun is no different. And when it goes, the earth goes with it. But our planet won't go quietly into the night. Rather, when the sun expands into a red giant as it is dying, it will vaporize the earth." End of quote. Death came into the universe through sin. And the whole world, all of creation, is feeling the impact. What will happen to the earth and the human race when this finally happens? For sure, nothing on earth will be able to survive. Death is in all of the creation because of sin. So it is established, God is not the author of death. He's the author of life. But because of sin, we must die and have to face him sooner or later. Because remember, he is still God. He will always remain in control of the universe. He is everlasting. He's not going to go away. He's not going to lay down and die. He's not going to cease to exist just because we do. He's God. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." End of quote. It is appointed for us to cease to exist in this realm. You know why? This is not God's idea for a good life for us. This is transitional. We're transitioning into a better life. God's going to do away with all this because it is imperfection. God does not abide with imperfection. And he doesn't want that for us either. What a terrible destiny it would be if there was no end to this human suffering in this world. All the deficiencies, all the natural disasters that we have to face that sooner or later annihilate a lot of us. This is not God's long-range plan for us. It's temporal. But he's making a way so that we can, in all purity, in our full desire, want to go into that life that he has prepared for us. So here it says in Hebrews, it is appointed for man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. Now, if we live for God, we do not have to fear judgment. We will come out with flying colors because of Jesus. So as you can see, we must understand this threshold called death. Because once it happens, that is it. You can't change anything. Once you die, after that comes the judgment. The Bible does not teach or support any kind of chances after death, like some want us to believe in things like reincarnation. The Bible does not support that option. Neither does it teach that there is a middle waiting place that the Roman Catholic Church calls purgatory. This is a strictly Roman Catholic doctrine, which says there is a place or state of suffering inhabited by the souls of sinners who are cleansing their sin before going to heaven. If this were possible, then Christ died in vain. He didn't have to come. He didn't have to go through all the farce of a crucifixion, death, and what, pretending to have risen from the dead? You see, if we believe in any other way of getting to heaven, it annihilates the redemptive work that Jesus came to do. So this is not possible. The Bible will not sustain anything that contradicts the general tenor of what Christ came to do. This doctrine says that there is an intermediate state after physical death in which some of those ultimately destined for heaven, must first undergo purification, so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. There's nothing you and I can do to deserve heaven or to deserve entry into heaven. We read it very clear. You die, you face judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says the following, "We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." End of quote. When we are absent from the body, which is the physical death, we immediately are present with the Lord. There's no pit stops. There are no intermittent stages of any kind. When we leave our body, we go before the presence of God. Oh, how God hates the death of sinners. He hates the death of sinners because he knows what awaits them. There's no way around it. He takes no pleasure in seeing sinners die. This is why he has made the provision so all can come to repentance and live. This is what we read a little while ago in Romans 6:23, that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God wants people to live and continue living once they are transitioned into the afterlife in a wonderful existence, not suffering, not facing a second death, eternal separation from him. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32 tells us this. It says, "For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." End of quote. It's just that simple, folks. Accept the new life in Christ. Repent and you will live. Now, what will you be giving up when you repent? 10 seconds of worldly pleasure and then a lifetime of suffering. Is that worth dying for? Is that worth missing out with God and everything that he has prepared for us, not only here in this world, but throughout eternity? That's what's in the balance. And you and I decide what we want. God will respect our decision, but he's telling us, here it is. I take no pleasure in the death of anyone. That's God. But we must erase the sin through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, he cannot have a fellowship with us. He cannot have any kind of communion with us. Now, God says he hates the death of sinners, right? He doesn't take pleasure in sin. And that's when people are not going to go with him when they die. But look at the other side. Look at what he says of his people in Psalm 116, verse 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." End of quote. That's the other side. That's the side of those who repent and want to live with God forever. It is precious to God when we finally come into his realm. And he makes it very special whenever one of his children comes to him having been victorious in this life on earth, and he comes home to live with God forever and ever. But you know what? The rejoicing begins to happen the very day here on earth when a person accepts eternal life through Jesus Christ. We read about this in Luke chapter 15 when there's a parable there of the lost sheep. And the shepherd goes out to find that one lost sheep. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 15, verse 7. "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." End of quote. Do you know what that means? That means that out of 100 people, if 99 of those 100 people do not want God's ways, they don't want to live life the way God has established it, God says, okay, it's okay. That's their choice. But when one decides to join God, it says that there's more joy in heaven over this one person. And you know who celebrates really big time? The angels who are the rooting section. Remember we said they were very observant to see how God was going to answer this challenge that he received from the very beginning from this person called Lucifer? That they might be thinking, how is this going to play out? Well, every time that a sinner repents and comes to God, there's joy in heaven. The numbers increase. And the angels are happy of those that are being redeemed and saved. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, we read, in the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. End of quote. We have a cheering section in heaven. We have a whole host of angels. We don't know how many there are, but they are rejoicing when one sinner repents. So you see, God hates sin. And he wants nothing to do with sin. He hates it. He hates it when their time is up here on earth and they have to go into the afterlife and they're not prepared. But there is an end to death. The day will come when death will be destroyed forever. And I'm going to share a succession of scriptures that speak to us and tell us exactly how this has happened and is going to happen. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, we read, and now he has revealed this grace through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the gospel. End of quote. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. So, Jesus Christ has already abolished death when he rose again. He was victorious over death, and he will give us that same privilege, has given us that same privilege. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 and 14, we read the following. Now, this is talking about the end. And it says, the sea gave up its dead, and death and Hades gave up their dead, and each one was judged according to his deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. End of quote. Everything that is evil, everything that rejects good, there's going to come an end to all that. And those of us who choose God's way, we're going to go into that perfect realm and live in peace, prosperity, and explore everything that God has prepared for us in a totally different dimension. Nobody will ever want to experience sin and death again, least of all being in the presence of God and in his perfection. This is God's promise, and it has already been guaranteed. This is guaranteed. This is not a fairy tale. This is not something that we hope might happen in the future. This is guaranteed. And that is what Jesus Christ did for us when he said on the cross, it is finished. It is complete. The work of redemption is complete. God has made his good pleasure known from the very beginning. This is all in accordance to what God promised from the very beginning. It has taken him thousands of human years to accomplish this, but it is done. It is finished. He's just giving some time for human beings to have the opportunity to go his way. And I'm so glad he's waited this long. Otherwise, I would not have been included. You would not have been included. And if you are a believer who is enjoying forgiveness, who is enjoying prosperity through Christ in every way, who is enjoying the knowledge and wisdom of God that you can apply to every situation in life and have solid solutions and answers for these difficulties, you are already enjoying the benefits of God that God promised from the very beginning. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, we read the following. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the former things have passed away. End of quote. Can you even try to imagine a world where there's no more pain, no more crying, no more death, no more sadness, no more sickness? What will that be like? Well, that is what God has prepared for us, and we can start experiencing that right here, right now. You know, I had a Christian mom who passed away several years back, and I tell you, at her memorial service, we had the best of times. Our whole family was together. We formed a family choir because there's a lot in our family. We learned songs. We praised and worshiped God for the mother that he gave us and for the Savior that she introduced us to, my dad as well. It was a beautiful homegoing. That's exactly the way she wanted it. There was no weeping and crying without comfort or consolation of any kind. We were not mourning. We were rejoicing that she was finally with her Lord, that she loved so much, that she served so much on a daily basis, decade after decade after decade. She died almost at 92, about a couple of months short of 92. And we had to cancel a speaking engagement that she had that weekend, the few days before she died. She gave her entire life serving her Lord. And there was no death, no weeping, no sadness, no mourning at her celebration. That's the difference that God makes. So until death comes to us, every believer should do as follows and say like Romans 14:8, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And this is the way we are prepared every day for our homegoing when God decides our time is up. This is how we face death. It's with the understanding that we will finally be with our Lord to live forever and ever in this beautiful, perfect life. That's the way we understand death from God's perspective. And I hope this has helped a lot. Please share this with others that you know can benefit from this. And we will see you next time with a new topic.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.